Now, one of the nation's most famous veterans takes a look at American heroes from each of the nation's conflicts, most largely unknown, in a new book, 13 Soldiers, A Personal History of America at War. The authors are Senator John McCain and his longtime collaborator, Mark Salter. I sat down today with the Arizona Republican to talk about the book and also about what to expect from the new Republican Senate majority. Senator McCain, thank you for joining us. In your latest book, you've decided to write about 13 soldiers, not yourself, and from the Revolutionary War to our latest enterprises in Afghanistan and Iraq. Is there a through line, a similarity between all of those?
I think there is a similarity in that no matter where they came from or what their gender or race was, that they were dedicated to serving the country, sometimes with honor and integrity, and sometimes maybe not so much, but they served with courage. And I think they epitomized many aspects of that particular conflict. In other words, our first guy, Joseph Plum Martin, who was in the Revolutionary War at 15, almost starved to death. Literally almost starved to death.
And died in poverty.
Yes, and died in poverty without a pension. It took him 30 years before a pension. But compare that with Mike Mansour, who was a man who sacrificed his life for the lives of others. It wasn't a question of food. It wasn't a question of equipment. It was a dramatic change. But each of them served and sacrificed and ordinary people who did extraordinary things.
And Michael Mansour, of course, threw himself on a great grenade, got the Medal of Honor. But you remember a time as a Vietnam veteran when veterans were not treated with that kind of respect. Have you seen that evolve over time, or are we still, as Americans, basically stuck in a position where we say thank you for your service but don't know what else to do with that?
I think we've come a long way from Joseph Martin, when they literally were discharged and given pieces of paper that they could convert into money or services, to today, where we do a great deal. But I think there's been ups and downs, Gwen. After the Vietnam War, unfortunately, as you know, many people blamed the veteran and the young 18, 19-year-old draftee. I think it's really a shameful chapter. But I also think we're trying to make up for that, and I think we are making up for it. I see companies and corporations stepping up. I'm proud of my home city of Phoenix, Arizona, where there are no homeless veterans. They have provided lodging for every homeless veteran in our city.
But there's patriotism, there's practicality, there's certainly practicality in hiring veterans, and then there's the politics of this whole thing. Do they contradict one another often when it comes to veterans?
Oh, I think sometimes it's used for political gain, you know, but I am happy that we have had now in this last election some veterans, including Joni Ernst and Sullivan and Tom Cotton, that have served recent conflicts. You don't have to be a veteran to be a great senator and a great leader on military affairs, but it does help to have some veterans present so that they can give us the perspective that only those with that kind of experience can provide.
Well, so then tell me, if you had to recommend one of these stories in this book, which one would you recommend?
I think I might recommend Oliver Wendell Holmes, Jr. He came from the Boston Brahmin family. He joined the Harvard Regiment, which was a mixture of Harvard and Ivy League Harvard graduates and German-speaking Americans. He learned the lessons of war. He was changed by the war, but yet he went on to serve as a justice of the United States Supreme Court. One little anecdote, every day to work he had a tin ammunition box that he would bring his lunch to work with, because always reminding him of the conflict. And of course, it was the bloodiest, most fratricidal conflict by far we've ever been through, and it defined America.
When Congress returns in January, you're going to be chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and you will have a different kind of platform. We see playing out even today the U.S. strategy on ISIS and another beheading of an American aid worker. What, as the chairman of the committee and with this new platform, would you do that would be different than what's being done right now?
We are facing challenges unprecedented in my lifetime. We need to have hearings to start with from some of the wisest people in America. I want to get Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski and George Shultz and Jim Baker and people. And I also want to get some proven military leaders like General Petraeus and many others to come down and talk directly to the members of our committee in Congress so that they can tell us what our challenges are.
What is the value in bringing people from past administrations to advise this administration, because you don't trust this administration?
I think they've learned the lessons. Look, they've lived it over from that side of the river, and they know what their challenges are, but also they have a great grasp of the overall situation in the world. Many of these new members, particularly, have never been involved with the big picture issues.
I guess what I'm curious about, the pushback that the White House offers is that Republicans are critical, but they don't have their own solution.
That's interesting to hear, because everything that Lindsey Graham and I and Joe Lieberman said would happen. We said long ago, we're going to need a lot more boots on the ground. Guess what? The president just 1,500 more. And I guarantee you they will need more. And they will need to arm the Free Syrian Army. And they will have to ignore the boundaries between the two countries. What we're seeing is a gradual escalation, which then the escalation loses much of its impact. I mean, when we decided we were going to bomb ISIS, we gave them a week's warning. I mean, it's crazy. But everything that we have prescribed that needed to be done, if it had been done, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Has the well truly been poisoned with the White House at this stage for the final 2 years of this presidency because of executive action or threats of executive action?
I think it's hurt the environment. And I think it should be challenged in court, because the president for months said that he didn't have that kind of authority, and now he is exercising the kind of authority that he said he didn't have. And I think it's clearly unconstitutional. But frankly, shutting down the government is not the answer.
But you're going to have to fight that government shutdown fight again, aren't you?
I hope we will prevent it from happening. Both Senator McConnell and Speaker Boehner have said that is not the solution. So I hope we can prevail.
Senator McCain, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gwen.
My conversation with Senator McCain continues online, where we discuss the value of military as well as civilian public